Hey, this is Brad Geiger welcoming you to another episode of Hey Comics Kids, or one of the supplementary podcasts, 50 Minute Max or Smart Alex. If you want, you can subscribe to all three at iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. And if you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/heycomicskids. All the money there goes to a fund earmarked for the kids' education. This is a show we record just about every morning on our drive to school. We're having a lot of fun doing it, and it's great to hear that you're having a lot of fun listening to it. Now, without further ado, here are the stars of the show, 12-year-old Alex and 8-year-old Max. And we're back. It's another episode of Hey Comics Kids. This is Brad Geiger along with Alexander.
Hi.
And Max.
Hey!
And we've got a lot going on. It's been a little while since we posted a podcast, so we figured we'd catch you guys up with all the nuttiness that's happening at the Geiger Domain. Not the least of which is that we finally caught up with some of our TV shows. Alex and I finally watched the last two episodes of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What did you think about that, Alex?
They were really interesting.
Yeah?
It was pretty, pretty intense.
So, I think... Oh, and by the way, we'll mention right at the outset, everything that we're going to talk about, if you haven't seen it yet, then it's a spoiler to you. Although, I think everything we've got on our list is pretty old stuff. But,
especially Johto and Kanto.
Yes.
Which is something I'm going to talk about. That's pretty old stuff.
Yes.
I used to love Pokemon. So,
how brilliant is it knowing that... Marvel Studios cannot use either the X-Men nor the concept of mutants. How brilliant is it, Alex, that we're seeing the Inhumans?
Well, you know we're seeing the Inhumans for sure.
Oh, yeah. Everything in this season has been leading up to the Inhumans. The city that they're trying to find is the Inhumans city. The fact that they found that Kree... Alien leads you right to the Inhumans, and basically what you saw in that last episode where Skye was trapped with the flower dress lady, Reyna, that's the Marvel Studios equivalent of the Terrigen Mists, which was the catalyst that turned Inhumans into Inhumans and basically gave them their superpowers.
So
makes
maybe,
sense.
So, you know what would be cool?
Yes.
If somehow the Inhumans turned other characters from S.H.I.E.L.D., like Skye, into Inhumans. So, I think that would be a good idea. So, then it's kind of like, you don't want to hold them, but you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But it really can make out to a good story.
Well, that's just the thing about Inhumans, though. If I understand the mythology right, you have to have a little bit of Kree blood in you to become an Inhuman, because that's the background of the Inhumans. And that's why that one guy that was trapped in the chamber, the two women kind of turned into cocoons and then came out of their cocoons as superpowered beings. The one guy that was there, he just turned to dust. So if
triplet.
Right. Trip. So if you are not genetically predisposed to becoming an Inhuman, the Terrigen Mists are just going to kill you, right?
Yeah.
So how brilliant, back to my original question, Alex, how brilliant is it that we're seeing the Inhumans now? I mean, you see what they're doing, right?
Yeah, it makes a much more interesting curve.
Not only that, but Marvel can't use mutants.
We know. Everyone knows that.
So how cool is it that they found a loophole? In other words, Inhumans are basically mutants.
It's a loophole. It's the best way I've seen to introduce Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the... Age of Ultron. Hint, hint.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think it's kind of neat, because now the way the Marvel Universe was headed, the only kind of superpowers you could have were magic and science. And this brings in the mutant kind of aspect, where we're going to have a whole range of metahumans that are inhumans, which is a very close analogy to the mutants. What do you think about that, Max?
Wolverine, he is gonna be... Okay, I can just see it right now. I can see Wolverine being bit by a radioactive Wolverine and becoming into Wolverine! That we just bitten by a radioactive Wolverine, kind of like Spider-Man. Woo! I can just see it now.
I think you're being silly.
No, I'm not. I can see it.
Well, speaking of metahumans...
Actually, technically, Wolverine isn't a mutant.
Isn't he?
Did he have his healing regen before he went through the adamantium bones experiment? Comic-wise?
I think so. In other words, I think part of his mutant powers is his healing factor. So, yeah, I think you classify Wolverine as a mutant for sure.
Yeah.
Even though he's also been kind of scientifically upgraded, shall we say.
He's a bit of a half-mutant.
So then Mom could use Wolverine?
They could use half of him.
Yeah.
Oh, that does not seem right.
Well, it depends on which half they use, I guess. So, speaking...
Head and body?
Speaking of metahumans, that is a word that gets used over and over in a new series that we've started. Thanks to Scott Kurtz, who has been insisting that if we watch it, we will love it. And so far, I gotta say, he's right. What do you think? What I'm talking about, obviously, Alex is The Flash. We've watched the first 5 episodes. We binged on it a little bit this weekend. And what's your thoughts so far?
It's a much better show than I expected it to be.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
It has a lot of theories going around on with me and my dad, and I miss the red hair for The Flash.
You miss the what?
I miss the red hair for The Flash.
Yeah. So, what are your theories so far on this? So far, the one of the big mysteries in the season is... And we haven't... I think they're already up to, like, episode 15 or so. We've got a lot of catching up to do. But the guy in the wheelchair, who's kind of the mastermind behind a lot of the stuff that's going on at Star Labs...
Yeah, he kind of programmed... Not programmed. He kind of made Barry Allen's superpower happen.
In a way, yeah. And it's still... It's still yet to be seen whether that was really an accident. Because there's part of me that wonders whether it wasn't an accident.
Well, no, he had a cam with Barry Allen when he got struck by the lightning, and then he said, "See you soon, Barry."
Right.
So,
right.
Wasn't it an experiment? And...
That's a good point. I missed that plot point. You're right. He did say, "See you soon." In other words, maybe this wasn't an accident.
That in the first episode, they had a thing of Flash from 2024.
Right, which indicates that either he's from the future or that
he's Professor Zoom.
To stuff from the future. And that leads both Alex and I to believe that that guy is
Because
Professor
he doesn't even need his wheelchair.
Right. That's just a ruse.
And he's doing everything to make sure Flash... grows to be really strong, so he's pretty much raising cattle for slaughter.
That's the question now. What is his, if he is Professor Zoom, which we don't know yet, or the man in the yellow suit?
Pretty sure he's Professor Zoom.
And by the way, I think it's really cool that they keep referring to him with that sentence structure, the man in the yellow suit. Because this whole idea
Curious George?
Of,
yeah, Curious George.
No, that would be the man in the yellow hat. No, there was this really a great night, I think it was 70s or early 80s, TV series called The Fugitive. And the whole idea behind The Fugitive was this doctor had been accused of a crime that he had not committed. he had been accused of killing his wife. Sound familiar so far?
Yeah.
No.
And he didn't remember anything from that night other than there was an intruder that night. And all he could remember about this guy that actually did kill his wife is that he only had one arm. So the whole series was built around finding the one-armed man. And it was always, that's how, because they didn't know his name, that's always how they referred to him. We have to find the one-armed man. And it's really interesting that they're using the same kind of sentence structure, the man in the yellow suit, as opposed to the man with one arm, to talk about this very similar situation. But, question to you, Alex. If indeed this guy is Professor Zoom, and he's...
Or the professor of Firestorm, you know?
No, those are two different professors. Those are two different professors.
Fine.
You're talking... The other professor is Professor Stein, I think.
No. Yeah, wait a minute. Isn't his name Professor Stein?
I don't think so.
Because, remember, we haven't watched... We've only gotten up to, like, episode 9. So, don't expect us to be experts on this.
That's true. But, here's... And we've already kind of seen the beginnings of Firestorm, haven't we?
Yeah.
Young Ronnie. So, question to you, Alex. If indeed this is Professor Zoom masquerading in the wheelchair, what is his motive? Why did he set all of these actions into motion?
Well, Professor Zoom has been always obsessed with the Flash.
In the comics, Professor Zoom is the one who, or at that point, he was also being called the Reverse Flash. He kills Iris Allen, who was married to Barry Allen.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So, but other than that, as far as being obsessed, other than, I think every supervillain is kind of obsessed with the superhero that he ends up getting paired to, but I don't know that there's other than that, much of an obsession.
I think it's more of, like, continuing the future. Maybe there's something that happened in the future that caused him to... Well, 2024 wasn't that the day that Flash disappeared and Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Well, it is... The newspaper clipping does mention that Flash disappears in a crisis, which is, to me, a clear allusion to... Crisis on Infinite Earths, where Flash died.
And that's how we make the Justice League.
But I'm going to be very interested to see what this, with the wheelchair guy, what his motivation is for setting all this stuff in motion.
He shanked a fake philosopher person and, like, scared him half to death from getting out of his, chair, and he was really more threatening than in the previous episode we watched. The army guy, he threatened him pretty badly.
Oh yeah,
he's pretty intent on getting his way.
He's definitely a powerful being. There's no doubt about it, and he's using that wheelchair as a smokescreen. So yeah, we're really into the Flash now. It's been a really good series. We've got a lot of catching up to do, but I got a feeling that we're going to catch up rather quickly. But so far, two thumbs up and a lot of really great storytelling, a lot of great things. Here's a point I want to make, Alex, because you and we all three of us watched the premiere of Gotham, right?
I want to watch it again.
And, well, we can, but they hit you over the head in the first episode of Gotham with all of these, you know, kind of wink and a nod introduction to supervillains.
And it was dumb. But very, very dumb.
Compare and contrast that to how it's done in The Flash.
Wow, DC really learned, didn't they?
Well, it's a different set of writers, but I think I like... I, the two ways, I prefer this way.
The Flash way?
Yeah,
or Gotham?
I prefer the way that the Flash writers are doing it, where they don't hit you over the head with it. Like the Grodd has been kind of tipped to twice now. And they don't do anything other than just kind of let it slip that that Grodd is out. And then that's it. They don't...
And they introduce a new... supervillain every episode that somehow conveniently gets killed, but...
You were talking about the Kanto region, mm-hmm. And now, when we got in the car to go to school, you said you had a new region you were kind of focused on.
Yeah.
Go
Johto.
Ahead.
I've already kind of beaten Johto. I, just beat the final gym leader. Also, I beat Weta Top Mount Silver, but it's very satisfying, trust me.
Mm-hmm. So what do we see in the Johto region?
Well... You begin 3 years later after the events with Red and the Kanto region. Well, you go downstairs, and I was telling your mom I'm going on a journey. There's no dad for some reason. There actually is only a dad in, one game, which is the Hoenn games, which I don't know why I haven't added in anything else. I think it'd be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, So, say your mom goodbye, and then you, I don't really remember that much from the beginning, but you go to you get your Poke Gear, which is basically a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can register trainers that you've battled Pokemon number, so you can battle them later on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you get there, so then you go around, so then you go to the professor's office, and choose your Pokemon. I chose Cyndaquil just because, I just kind of really like the Pokemon. It's just so cute and turns into something just really awesome. I also really like the second form where it becomes more of a dogish Pokemon, and I am very big on dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, Mr. Pokemon is a friend of Professor Elm's, and he sends you on... to go out in the wild and go to find him.
Mm-hmm.
You have your he doesn't want you to get hurt, he gives you a Pokemon that, since its happiness level goes up, he lets you keep it. And so it walks behind you. Professor Elm, the Pokemon professor in this game, and Professor Elm says, in the ancient days, before there were Pokeballs, humans would walk with their Pokemon. And this is just in Heart Gold, not Silver. Silver, any of those games. But it's Heart Gold, you go to Professor Elm, you see Professor Oak there. Professor Oak gives you a Pokédex,
mm-hmm.
And you go, and then, I think you go back to your starting town. I forget its name, but what I'm trying to say is you go back to it, and then you start your quest,
mm-hmm.
It's to become the very best. So, after a lot of training, you go to the first gym, and Little Fault No V-Fine type exports. Once you get the first gym badge from Fault No, and then you run into a little problem. Well, you'd think you would go out to go. There's something blocking your way.
What's that?
It's a tree-like Pokemon. That's for some reason a rock type, even though it's a tree. I don't get it, but yeah. So before you can even attack it,
beat the second gym, and then you go to Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet sensation, Whitney's Milk Tank. This thing took me so long to beat, but it's just so fun. And this sounds evil, but once you beat her, she breaks down into a temple tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the gym trainers has to calm her down. Then you get the badge, move on, and then you can finally, and then to go to Equitique City, where the next gym is, you need to go to the flower shop to get a water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have the water bottle, or the squirt bottle, which looks like a squirtle, you get to go for a challenge. You might want to catch it. I decided not to, but I actually kind of wanted it, but I guess I just ran out of Pokeballs. And you go to the Ghost Gym. This is so hard because his Pokemon is like two Hondos. I think it's like two Hondos, a Gengar or something like that. But like, his Hondos know Hypnosis, which is the most annoying move to put your Pokemon to sleep. Once it's asleep, you have to get to wake up before it uses Dream Eater and eats your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you also ran into a group called the Kimono Girls, which are full of legendary Pokemon out of this region, and you help them out in various quests.
Who are the legendaries in this region?
Hoenn and Lugia.
Yeah. Are they good?
They're really strong, but I'll get into them later. You move on to Equitique City, and then you go. And then you go get the fifth badge, and then there's the Lake of Rage. Yes, finally, I can get into the shiny Gyarados. I was waiting to get into this, because Gyarados seems to be a very popular Pokemon in this region. Even Lance has a Gyarados.
Oh, really?
So you can catch a shiny Gyarados.
Mm-hmm.
And I say you should probably add it to your team. Eventually you got an all 8 gym badges. And then you go to the 8th gym badge and beat Claire. Claire straight out refuses to give you the gym badge unless you complete a test at the Dragon's Den and after you beat her. So you have to do a test at the Dragon's Den, and once you actually do it, she's like, what? Not even I could do it. And after you do it, and she gives you the gym badge, and then you get a call from Professor And then you get a call from Professor Elm saying to come over and to go and come to his lab. And then he gives you the Master Ball. And then one of them says the Kimono girls are looking for you and at the Aquatique City. And so you go to Aquatique City, go where they're located, and once you beat them all, you get to go. Once you beat all the Kimono girls in a row, so you can't heal up your team, which is, I don't think that's kind of fair, but that's just how it rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they start freaking out because the legendary Pokemon, Ho-Oh-Lugia, you either have to make it up the Bell Tower or make it through World Islands. I'd say if you're beginning, pick probably Pokemon Heart Gold, but then you have to go up the Bell Tower, and that's much easier, because
mm-hmm.
you actually can see where you're going without having to use Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you catch the legendary, you get to go to... Once you catch the legendary, you get to go Ho-Oh-Lugia, you go to the Elite Four. And the Elite Four is very tough, especially Lance the Dragon Tamer. And also there's a lot of stuff with Team Rocket. Team Rocket's basically, you know how there's a chicken and when you cut off its head it's still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's basically what Team Rocket is. It's, they're running around and trying to get contact to the boss, but I think that team without a boss is really cool.
Like a chicken with its head cut off.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so, now you can go to... Now, you go and you complete a lot of tasks, and once you beat the Elite Four, then you go to Kanto, and you have to get all the Kanto gym badges. I think that really blue is the toughest one. But after you beat blue, Professor Oak awards you and making you able to go to Mount Silver, where your final battle awaits with Red. Red is the player from the last Pokemon game. And that is in Game Freak. That was the best idea to make a new Pokemon game. You battle yourself in the last game, and I think that his level 88 Pikachu really shows something for who he is.
Really?
Yeah.
And what does that show?
He's the strongest of a normal NPC in story mode, and so you have to get all the Kanto badges, and then once you beat Red, then there's one more task you can do. Catch Groudon, Hyogre, and Rayquaza. Well, actually, say you're playing Heart Gold, then you can only catch Kyogre.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're playing Soul Silver, you can only catch Groudon. But if you transfer one over to another game, say you have Heart Gold and Soul Silver, transfer Groudon to Heart Gold, then you can go back where you found it and catch Rayquaza. So, yeah, I think that I definitely recommend this game.
Johto region sounds like a lot of fun.
I want to apologize because actually kind of speeded this up.
Okay.
Because, like, we were kind of going, we were just about at school, so I wanted, and I kind of forgot most of the stuff in Johto. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want, we can always come back and talk more about the Johto region because it sounds like it's something you're really fascinated by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the connection with Kanto and Johto. Also, you can catch Latios Latias.
Very good. Well, we can always come back. We'll call this our introduction to the Johto region.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's wrap this up. Alex?
You can rate us and like us
mm-hmm.
on iTunes, the Blueberry Network,
and Stitcher.
And Max, bring it home.
This is speaking for myself, my dad, and my brother. Goodbye, everybody.
Very good, guys.